Everybody awake? One honest person, they said no. How do you say that when you're still asleep? I'd like to welcome you to Glen Acres this morning, and I hope that your time with us is a blessing to you, that your mind and especially your heart are blessed this morning. This morning's message is going to be one that has application for everybody. That is, if you are living, breathing, and basically still vertical, you should have some appreciation for this message. The title of it is Footprints in the Sand. Anybody here ever hear of that before? Sounds familiar? Okay. It is a poem that has become very familiar to us, and the reason is that it makes a poignant point of emphasis. And I think that people are sensitive to that point, and that's the reason that it has become so popular. The poem goes like this. I'm going to read through it to begin with, in hopes of giving you the overall feeling and context of the poem. If you have heard this before, I urge you to listen to it again and give special attention. It says, "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him, and the other belonged to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and the saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." Very troublesome thought. The Lord replied to him, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." This bit of poetry brings hope and encouragement, I think, to many of us. And even as Christians, Christians may have a different perspective on this poem than others. I'm going to take a little time this morning, and I'm going to take another look at this poem, and we're going to look at it more from the Christian perspective. First of all, it says, "One night I had a dream." The scripture does say that sometimes God speaks to us in a vision of the night. And that is very true. However, we should never confuse that to think that every dream that comes along is a product of God's desire to communicate with us. That could be, to say the least, very confusing. It says that he was walking along the beach with the Lord. This would indicate that it was somebody who was a Christian, somebody who really did believe. And we might ask ourselves, is this somebody who really believes in the Lord and in His Word, the Bible? That is the thing that shapes our perspective on life, on how we deal with things. That is the thing that shapes our understanding of how God functions. And so very often when people are confused about God and His nature and how He functions and why He does things the way He does, it is because they're not familiar with His Word. We all need to take admonition to abide in His Word, because Jesus said, "You are truly My disciples if you continue in My Word." So there's the test. If you, like many, maybe most, make excuses about why you don't spend more time in the Word, there may be somewhat legitimate excuses, but still excuses. I believe that as we get into the Word, the sword of the Spirit, because our heart is the home of the Spirit, really cuts. It really, not in a negative way, in a positive way, it really comes through to the center of our hearts. And our souls crave His Word. It's not as though it's a duty that must be performed. It is something that is the desire of our heart. And you can't keep us away from the Word, because it is the fulfillment of our desire to know more about God. Okay? So he was with the Lord, and it says that across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one with the Lord. One belonging to the Lord. As we go through life as Christians, we should be conscious of the fact that God is with us. Now, this can be a bit tricky. Why? Well, because sometimes God's presence is evident. That is, we can sense it. We sense it in the joy that we experience in our daily lives. Other times, it's not quite so evident. There are times when God seems quite distant. And that can be for one of two reasons. It can be because He is, or it can be because we simply perceive it that way. Now the good thing is that when He is distant, He will no doubt seem distant, unless you're deceiving yourself, unless you're unfamiliar with His Word, and unless His Spirit is dwelling in your heart. If you are with Him, He will be with you. So, sometimes it's evident that Christ is with us, His presence. We feel that way, particularly during times when we are especially focused on Him, especially at times when we are making an earnest effort to do the right thing. Now, there's kind of a strange thing here, that sometimes people struggle to do the right thing, feel like they fail, and feel separate from God, even when that really isn't true. If you're struggling to do the right thing, that's evidence that God is with you. The struggle itself shows that your heart is there with Him. It's those people who go blindly along and don't acknowledge any struggle that fool themselves into thinking that their walk with God is really, really good. Is it okay to feel some level of confidence? Certainly. God wants us to feel confidence in our walk with Him, but not to be presumptuous that it's okay with Him. I believe it's in one of the Psalms of Asaph, in the book of Psalms, where he says, "Oh God, deliver me from presumptuous sins." That would be the sin of presuming things. When a person is wise, they test things, they check them out, especially against God's Word or with God's Word. They test things to see whether they're true. They do not come to presumptuous conclusions. Many people have brought needless pains into their lives through being presumptuous. That is, assuming that somebody had this motive or had that motive. Assuming that they are right is the most common. People are usually more adept at assuming they are right than they are assuming that others are right for some strange reason. So it says, deliver us, or deliver me, O Lord, from presumptuous sins. We shouldn't be presumptuous that we're walking with the Lord. If you're walking with the Lord, there are some definite signs. You will hunger for His Word. If you're walking with the Lord, you will have a love for the truth. If you're walking for the Lord, you will have a heart full of love, especially for His people. I don't mean a heart full of love for the things of this world, but for the things of the world which is yet invisible. It won't always be that way. So, for each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. Question, wouldn't it be better to look back at the footprints of the sand before the last scenes of your life actually come along? I mean, it sounds humorous, but I do mean it seriously. How many people wait until they're really old, let's say somewhere in their 40s, and then as the end draws really near and it's really imminent and you're thinking, oh no, you know, I'll be lucky if I make it to 42 or 43. And then you think, well, I'd better reflect back over my life and take a good close look at it. And you start doing that, and you realize, wow, there are some things I could have changed and would have changed 10 years ago if I'd done this 10 years ago. Don't wait to the end for retrospect. The way to correct our ways is not just to look every 10 years or every 5 years or every year, but to examine our lives on a regular basis and making our lives, our very lives, a living sacrifice to Him on a daily basis. Romans chapter 12. So when the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. Everything you do, every word that you speak, every thought that you think, leaves a footprint in the sand, so to speak. At least for those who are not Christians, everything in our life seems to be indelibly imprinted. We even have a sense, or people do, have a sense that there's somehow a judgment. You know, there's somehow a reckoning for the things that we have done, the things that we have said, and the things even that we have thought. Is that true? Yes, it is true. But the good news is, for the Christian, that all of that which has been done as a Christian and forgiven by the grace of God is blotted out. All of it. So we don't have to walk around with our heads hung and with fear of judgment, but rather confidence of God's grace. It is a real thing. It is a tangible thing. It is more real than the pew sitting in front of you. or underneath you is more real than the person sitting next to you or in front of you or in the back of you. It is something that is not just physical, it is a spiritual reality. The next thing the poem says, he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. It sounds lonely. Most of us know the end of the poem, so we don't get too upset by this, but just imagine that you were reading it for the first time. Sees only one set of footprints. Somebody left. Was it him or was it the Lord? What do you think? Somebody leaves the relationship, who do you think it is? I mean, God has made a covenant relationship with us, hasn't he? We are the bride. We are the church. He has betrothed himself to us. He is somebody who is very, very good with commitments. And there are some commitments that are irreversible. You just keep them. And by the way, God did intend that for the marriage commitment. There are some commitments that are completely exclusive. That is, there's only one person involved in that relationship beside yourself. That's your mate. That's how God designed it. His relationship with us as the bride of Christ is completely exclusive. There is nobody else in his life aside from those who have trusted him, who have turned to him. There is nobody else in our lives except the groom, except the Lord himself. It is an exclusive relationship. There is no consideration of anybody else, because it is in the heart that a relationship is formed. It is in the heart that a relationship is sustained. And we must, not only in our marriage relationships, but we must, in our relationship with God, maintain exclusivity. Without it, there is no real relationship. Husbands, wives, if you entertain the thought of somebody else, you are in serious trouble now. It doesn't matter even whether you act on that thought. Jesus taught that the inception is at this level right here, the mind. And that's where the problem needs to be dealt with. You need to take that as a serious red flag and act to repent. But no less in our relationship with God, if there is some other thing out there competing with him, if there is some other God, some object of our imagination or our adulation that somehow is beginning to seem enticing to us, don't even think about it. God is God. Nobody else, nothing else is God. He is God. He is the one who has given himself for us, who has given not only himself, but his Son, his only begotten Son, for us. He is the one who has shown us love without reservation and without end, and to give our minds, our hearts, even at a thought level, to anything or anyone else is not just a mistake. It's a sin. And we need to call it for what it is. We don't just blithely skip our way through life and, you know, well, accidentally have a few sins here and there. And it's not like that. Our consciences, if they're educated at all, tell us something's wrong. If we ignore that warning long enough, eventually our consciences become calloused or blunted, and we are no longer capable of sensing that sense of warning. Well, here at this point, now there's only one set of footprints. It may be because we depart, or it may seem that it's because we think that the Lord has departed. And yet, did He not promise us that He will never leave us? Did Jesus promise that? He did. Absolutely. He promised us that He will never leave us. And in John 14, He said to them, I will not leave you as orphans. He's going to be crucified. He is going to be leaving planet Earth in the physical form, and He knows it, and He assures them, I will not leave you. See, one version says desolate, another version says as orphans. That's the NIV. He assures them He is not going to leave them, nor is He going to leave us. And He keeps His promises. He doesn't, like mere humans do, just blithely skip one promise or another. He keeps His promises without exception. Now, what does that mean? If a person is saved, does it mean they can never be lost? No, it doesn't. How do I know that so certainly? Because people do jump ship. They can be aboard the ark, in a very certain way, they will just jump ship for whatever reason. Is that a foolish thing to do? Well, I'd say it's a very foolish thing to do. But at this point, I want to say something that is critically important. As Christians, we must understand something about the principle of how God works. I'm reading to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says in chapter 4, verse 18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. Is that a bit ironic? It's talking, of course, about our spiritual eyes. We fix our eyes. You might close your eyes for a minute. Keep them closed. And now, fix your eyes on that which is unseen. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look to Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't mean physically, of course. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Is He real? Absolutely. There is no question. Even though He is physically unseen, He is a spiritual reality. That reality is greater than the reality which you can open your eyes and see. Okay, open your eyes if you have them. Some of you got a head start, I noticed. I want to read the rest of that verse. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's a revelation. The stuff that we can't see, that is what is eternal. The stuff we can see, just temporary. Well, how temporary is that? What a foolish question. What if it's going to be 1,000 years temporary, which it won't? Does that make it worth giving up eternity? No, I think, I'll probably live to a ripe old age of 50. And so I don't have to worry about anything because that's almost eternal. Yeah, wait till you're 45 and then tell me that. 45, you'll be shaking in your boots. You'll say, that's it, it's all over. I'm finished. Oh, that's foolish. I still haven't had my midlife crisis yet. So I've got some 60-odd years to go yet. So. No, I'm not into red sports cars. I do not understand what people are talking about when they talk about a midlife crisis. I don't understand what's a woman. I don't understand any of that. And when it's a man, I don't understand it because I don't know. I think I'm getting along, you know. I'm over 30 now and I haven't had any midlife crisis. So, one of you men that's had one, just tell me about it, would you? I think it only happens to women. Take me off the record on that. Those who are living, who are listening to this by tape, just go back on the tape about 1 minute and erase that last minute. Because I know there will be mail. Send all your mail to Ralph Johnson, 11401 10th Avenue South, Burien, Washington, 98168. It says, he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. What a mistake. God's footprints are invisible. In Psalms 77, in verse 19, it says, your path led through the sea. Now it's talking about going through the Red Sea. When God did not seem very visible to the Israelites, was he saving them? You bet. They walked through the waters, and what happened to their enemies? Inundated right behind them by the same waters that had saved the Israelites, the pursuers, the Egyptians, were destroyed. Now here's what it says. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Invisible footprints. God's footprints were not seen. That is how it is in this life. His footprints are not seen. Well, that may be upsetting to you. And I say, no, I want to see him. No, you don't. Not now, not in this time, because God has a plan, and this is his plan. His hand will not be seen. At times we get a glimpse, you know, a glimpse, a bit of encouragement along the way. But why does he not just show himself to us and just come along and fix us when we're broken? And why does it, well, he will if we give in to him. But, you know, if you cling to your own ways, he doesn't just fix you when you're broken. You may stay broken for a while until you get the point. God's desire is for us to live a whole, a vibrant, a spiritual, that is, real life. He doesn't expect us to live by the flesh, that is, living for the temporary, temporal, for the unreal. If something's temporary, it eventually is unreal. It just doesn't matter. The things that are eternal are what matters. Take another look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, and this time, instead of just verse 18, I'm going to back up to verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. How do you do that as a Christian? Therefore, do not lose heart. You say, yeah, but you don't know the situation I'm in. You may be surprised. I probably do. I've probably seen it before. You may be surprised to know that I know that God can help that place. It can seem really, really dark sometimes. But if you close your eyes and you look upon the face of Jesus, the darkness will disappear. I don't mean what his physical appearance is like. He may look like any one of us, I suppose. What difference does it make? What he looks like to me is grace. What he looks like to me is love, compassion, understanding. That's what he looks like to me. Is he black, white, yellow? Who cares? He looks like compassion to me. Well, it says here, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly, we are wasting away. Evidently, written by somebody, Paul at this time is probably over 35. Though outwardly, he says, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. By the way, you know, when I came in this morning, Ivan shared that verse with me. I already had it in my sermon, I promise. So inwardly, see, Ivan has turned 23 now or 24 or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, he's pretty old. And Ivan, I think, was just fixated on this verse. Though outwardly we're wasting away, I know it's getting tough. Take heart. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And he marveled that it says day by day, being renewed all the time. It's not just like a one-time thing that happens and then you're stuck again. You know, God does it every day. His mercies are new every day, it says in the Old Testament. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. Your trouble is achieving something for you. Are achieving for us an eternal glory. Eternal. That far outweighs them all. That is the temporary troubles, and they're all temporary. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, on Jesus. In fact, Hebrews tells us that we should fix our eyes upon Jesus. There again, fix our eyes. We need to have our eyes fixed on Him. We need to have our hearts fixed on Him. We need to have our minds fixed on Him. And if we do that, I promise, no, the Lord promises, Proverbs 3 verses 5, 3 through 5, that if you do that, that your ways will be ways of peace, that He will direct your paths, there specifically in Proverbs 3, that He will direct your path. And that is the greatest reward that any of us can have. If we fix our eyes on Him, if we acknowledge Him, it says in all of our ways, that He will direct our paths. Okay? So, where are our spiritual eyes fixed? Is the gratification of the flesh or the object of our physical sight so enthralling that it takes our attention away from what is eternal? Well, everything in the process, everything along the way is total vanity. It will not abide. It will not last. And that's a guarantee. We can invest our lives in something that will give us not just returns down the road that exceed what we invest, but for this temporary investment, we reap eternal rewards. And not because of ourselves, but because of God, who has given us great, great mercy. So you notice that many times along the path of life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the lowest and saddest times of his life. Why would God do that? Why do we feel separate from Him when things are really tough? Because God has a plan. And that plan is that everything we do now is without seeing Him, and it can be a true expression of love for Him who has loved us without reservation. Once you see Him, you will never again have the opportunity to totally, of your own free will, just say, you know, I really believe him. I really trust in him. I really trust in his nature, in what I see in the Word. Because then you'll only be able to say, yeah, I've seen him. I trust in him. I believe that he exists. And so will everybody else. Scripture says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Everybody will. Why? Because they've seen him. But you, because as a Christian, you have believed in him and trusted in him through faith, even though he wasn't seen, that means that you voluntarily, from the depth of your heart, believed and trusted in him. That will be of eternal value. The Scripture says that our faith is precious. It calls our faith a precious faith. Precious to whom? Precious to God. Above and beyond what we understand, our faith is precious to him. Why is faith necessary? Why can't we see him now? There is a very, very good reason for it. You may not understand it, but the best thing for you to do is just trust in God, not to question him. And notice that's what the person in our poem seemed to have done, especially in those low times. You're prone to question God. This really bothered him, it says, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. Did he say that? In essence, yes. He promised the Holy Spirit, another counselor, to be with us always. He would be with us always. Because you don't see him, because you don't sense that he's there, does not mean he's there. He is there, and we see him through the eyes of faith. We don't have the eyes of faith, we don't see him. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, I saw one rendition of this where the person narrating actually narrated this with some anger. I'll see if I can do that. It doesn't seem right, but I'll do it for a moment. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. If I was God, I would be doing this, you know. Well, I could understand it more if it was at least with a bit of humility. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. You see, just not understanding. Is that permissible? I think so, but we should come to a point of reconciliation on that. We should, I believe, actually come to understand that God doesn't leave us. He is not always visible to us, and it is for a good purpose, and it is not his self-benefit. It's for us. It really is. You can't see him. Praise God that you can't see him now for this time, because the time is coming when you're going to understand why completely, and you're going to shake your head in amazement that God's wisdom is so great, and in amazement at your own ignorance, failing to understand. The Lord's answer here was, and it makes sense, my son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That's a beautiful picture, and really the Lord does carry us at times when we don't even realize it. His loving kindness picks us up and carries us through the problems and difficulties that we have, even though we continue experiencing challenge. And we continue to grow through challenge. It's His purpose for us to learn to see Him with the eyes of our heart. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened to see what is the height and the breadth and the depth and the length of God's love. It is a spiritual thing. It is not a physical thing. The Lord, we skipped ahead there, but the Lord opens His arms to us. He desires to give us a place of spiritual reality and to see that reality. I want to use this as a moment to introduce something that's especially important. We have coming up a series here very shortly. In the month of September is the plan to begin it, where we're going to show some things about the nature of the world today and how things can be changed. We're going to talk about the truth, the realities of some of these things. Now, I'd like you to take a moment and just watch this with me. This is kind of a little introduction. Do we have somebody back here?
You're about to take what could well be the most important tour.
This is just an introduction to what we're going to be doing.
A worldview tour. Why did Jesus come into the world? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? We're going to turn and gaze upon the face of God. There is no direction you can travel in which God has not spoken to His man.
What does God say about who man is?
What takes us captive?
What is insanity?
Up from the doom we arose.
Is our culture filled with lies? This is a battle of worldviews.
Can you really believe that what you believe is really real?
We will never be the same again.
This is a series of 12 little lightning there. I don't know. I didn't even see any rain. But this is a series of 12 films that deals with just about every area of life. You are going to see in the series of films clear evidence, clear refutation of some of the objections that the world has to the truth that's seen in the Scripture. You will see evidence regarding issues such as creation. God has surrounded us with evidence. You're going to see that life truly, objectively has a purpose, and that God is willing to fulfill that purpose if we're just willing to open the eyes of our minds and hearts. We're going to offer this at a time when you'll be able to bring visitors. It will not be during Sunday morning service. We'll give you some of the details in the following weeks and an opportunity to see bits and pieces of some of the series. And it requires a commitment. A person needs to really commit themselves to see this within your own hearts. You need to commit yourself to see the full series to have the full impact of it. And it has a huge impact. I would encourage all of you to plan on attending it and bring your friends. It will be a great evangelistic opportunity, too. So, more details coming ahead. I hope that this morning, you know, as we've talked about these footprints in the sand, that you have thought about those times when God has seemed distant, and that you've realized that at those very times, His heart was most compassionate. You know, with your own children, when they have struggles, sometimes you're not there to immediately snatch them out of the struggle, but your heart is there with them, compassionate. You are there ready to pick them up, ready to support them. And God is certainly no different. He is invisible for a good reason. Jesus actually told His disciples that it was for their benefit that he remained invisible at that time. And it is for our benefit if we only knew. You have a special opportunity to walk with him in everything that you do because he is invisible. We're going to stand and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have closing announcements.